Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone, there's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much, where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL, that's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs, and then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is February 5th, 2025. I'm joined by this gentleman, Alex Pawlowski, the now Chris Middletonless Alex Pawlowski.
Yeah.
AEW Dynamite. It is Royal Rumble week. This gentleman had a review over on FightfulSelect.com. We will do some back padding over there, per usual. Jordan Grace news, Alexa Bliss news. Let me just give you the rundown in a bit on FightfulSelect.com. I'll brag about that momentarily. If you're here, leave a thumbs up. Subscribe. We have videos all over this channel, interviews with Eric Bischoff and Swerve this week, tribute to the troops, info doc this week as well. Just a plethora of stuff, daily shows, nightly review shows, just more things than you can imagine. We have gotten our Instagram back recently. We have a plethora of things over there, trying a lot of different stuff there. But by God, you're here right now on YouTube. Send a super chat. Send a Humper Chat over at HumperChats.com. We are going to talk about AEW Dynamite. Alex, how you doing?
Well, we took the kid to the dentist today. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, that'll be a fun several grand that we're
going to
be spending. So not so great. And as it turns out, apparently she's not very good at brushing her teeth. So we're going to have to get better at helping her do that. So nighttime routines go a little later than they have been. So I'm going to have to reconfigure how that works.
It is literally the only thing in the bathroom that Manscaped can't help you with. They don't do toothpaste yet. So maybe they can work on it. But by God, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We stream live to Twitter, X, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, all that. I had mentioned this on the Monday show. If you have a large Facebook or Twitter account, we are interested in multi-streaming to additional destinations. If you are interested in such, hit me up. But I had mentioned that FightfulSelect.com service the other day. Listen, your boy has Wade Barrett breaking kayfabe to be like, no, not Sean. He's not the bad one. He's not the bad one, guys. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. The number of WWE Corp email addresses that subscribe to that is astonishing. But last week, Jordan Grace officially signing, details of the deal. Alexa Bliss re-signing, details of the deal. Five of the Royal Rumble entrants. Details behind the Drew McIntyre LA Knight thing. Raw and SmackDown producers. Jim Johnston update. Unfortunate news on the Duke Hudson release. AJ Lee update. The Becky Lynch update. We told you all she was not going to be in town for that show. Creative that was discussed for Asuka. The Wyatt updates. Why PCO smashed the TNA title and a Powerhouse Hobbs update. Clearly a WWE heavy week for understandable reasons. But head over there. Get your news directly from the source. We got Q&As, additional shows, all kinds of stuff. FightfulSelect.com. The best $6 a month in the business. But we have AEW Dynamite to talk about right now. Let's go ahead and talk about that, by God. Our wonderful moderator Luis is helping us out with the super chats, Humper Chats. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, feels like the creative reset is happening. Alex, how'd you feel about tonight's show in totality?
Yes, good. Overall, very good. I really wish they had just done a hard pivot away from Cope
Sure.
But looks like that is definitely happening at Revolution. But we'll see how that goes. Everything else feels to me like it's a lot of stuff feels like it's on the right path now. So we'll see. We'll see. But this is very encouraging. Absolutely.
I tend to agree. I thought tonight was a very good show. And I feel like they needed a very good show coming off of, you know, WWE, for better or for worse, is very hot right now. And mm-hmm. off of one of the most interesting times in WWE. Royal Rumble always has that sense of optimism around it. So it's one of those things where you have to come and do a very strong showing. And I thought that they did that. For those of you who are just tuning in on Instagram, I'm trying to stream some of my shows over there, here and there. I'm trying to grow that Instagram page. Doing our best, by God. But go follow us at Fightful Online. The show kicks off with Jay White confronting the Death Riders in the parking lot. Marina carries Renee off, which was a great touch. Like, you can tell Marina was told,
I like get that a lot.
Line of fire.
Yep, that's it. Did I saw people saying, oh my God, Marina kidnapped Renee? And I was like, no, she was under orders to make sure that that there's not like a stray punch that hits my innocent wife, who's just happens to be a journalist covering this thing. I honestly thought that was a good touch. The brawl was fun. Everybody pairing off nicely. We're getting Jay White and Cope in a tag match at Grand Slam. And I don't know, just wanted maybe Jay White to get a title shot at Grand Slam, but it's fine. He's getting a match. That's good, I guess, right?
And sad to say, I was a bit wrong. Cope did get over with the crowd, like the chant. I think it did work better than Copeland, Copeland, Copeland.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So, I mean, that is effective.
Or are they just saying to somebody that they don't like to cope about something? I mean, that's possible as well, right?
Oh, God. God almighty. So, throughout this process, Cope is like, I want a title shot. And Mox is like, LOL, nah. Mm-hmm. Again, it seems like they're leaning towards this at Revolution. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a triple threat in this situation.
Might be
nice. But would they promote the Brisbane street fight or Brisbane brawl?
Brisbane brawl or something like that?
Yeah, something of that nature. That's going to happen at Grand Slam. I saw a lot of people today because Tony Khan had indicated,
Oh,
this was never supposed to be a pay-per-view. And a lot of people just like weren't believing him. And I'm like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. Grand Slam has never been a pay-per-view show. And yes, I believe the rollout, execution, planning, everything, virtually everything, promotion was bad for Grand Slam. But it was never supposed to be a pay-per-view. I was told that from the jump that it was unlikely to be a pay-per-view because of the time difference and because it would be a financial failure from that regard. Now, maybe it will be anyway, but it won't be because it's a pay-per-view on at like 4 a.m. or something like that. I will say them getting the NBA All-Star Weekend lead-in is a very good lead-in. Mm-hmm. Here's to hoping they don't have Jericho on immediately afterwards again.
Oh, that would be bad.
But that lead-in is a good one, and that's something that you do want. Even if you have to push the show back a couple hours, with a card like that, you want an NBA tie-in,
sure,
if you can.
I initially assumed it was going to be a pay-per-view because it did make a lot of sense to me to fly people 20 hours to a different continent across the largest ocean that we know of to do a TV.
Sure.
But I understand for all the reasons that you're saying why they didn't do it. But when it was announced, I was like, that's interesting pay-per-view, doing one in Australia. But the card looks tremendous, and I'm really, really excited for some of the matches that are going to be on there. So
Yeah, the card's looking very good. Eloquent says, when is Marina going to wrestle? I think that will be like a big monumental point of this story is when she finally gets in the ring. But it's like when she finally wrestles, you can't have her just lose after all
no,
this.
No. She's
it
gotta,
feels like
gotta
a win. Waste.
Yeah.
It feels like it would be a waste. And honestly, she should probably win in a squash if she does it. Vicky says, hi, friends. Burning questions. Where did Marina take Renee? To safety. That's it. When can I get my Monet puppet? They need to be selling Mercedes puppets right now. Right now. Fun, well-paced show tonight. Enjoying Osprey Omega, as am I.
You got to be selling Mercedes Manuppets all over the place because those things would sell like hotcakes, man.
Hot clakes, damn
it. Hot clakes. I don't know what a hot clake is, but...
Hot clake is who just got traded for Jimmy Butler, I think. I think that's who they got back in that trade.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
Lord Peter says, shout out to Marina Shafir for picking up and carrying Renee out of harm's way so the men could brawl in the parking lot. What an angel. Hashtag Marina cares. She babyfaced this situation. She helped get someone who couldn't defend herself out of the way. And Nonstop Goose, what a phenomenal name. Sends a humper chat and says, as much as I love AEW, I skipped the first 5 minutes of this show. Mox's actions don't match his words in any way, not even an LOL heel way. They've done this outside brawl ad infinitum and are just going to do an extended one for Australia. So I agree with this. And that's why I think it needs to be highlighted on the program that like he isn't trying to help AEW. He doesn't want to create a bunch of him. He is just lying. He is just being insincere and selfish and using people. That's how this needs to eventually play out because what are we supposed to believe that he's cool with like never defending the title and like cowering away and always having interference involved in matches and stuff like that. I shouldn't say never defending the title. He defended it a few weeks ago.
Sure.
But like he's defended it quite a bit rather. I should say that, but
right.
Running away from challenges in that sense.
I wish they would figure out a way to couch it in, no, you don't deserve this title. He does. You know what I mean? Like I handpick my opponents because I am looking at everybody and I see who wants it. You don't want it. Also, you don't deserve it. Like if it was that as opposed to, I don't want to fight. You know what I mean? I would much rather him have said in that moment, no, you don't get one. You don't get one, Cope. Jay White, I'll fight you. You know what I mean? You are showing me something. You got that fire. I want you, and have Cope get like pissed about it. Like that could be interesting to me if he's actually handpicking his opponents, not because I think I could beat you, but because I think you might be the one to beat me. Like I've always wanted a heel champion who is looking for the man who will topple him. Like Kraven the Hunter in Marvel's Spider-Man 2, the video game, where he just wanted a man who could kill him. And he was finding that man. And finally he found Venom, spoiler alert. Like that is something I think could be really cool for this version of Mox. They're just not doing it at all.
We had Will Ospreay defeating the newest Don Callis family member that got the most anticlimactic entrance imaginable. Like, first off, they did it as some big reveal. You had people thinking, is it Trent, who FightfulSelect.com did report, has been backstage of late. But the way that Don Callis did this, you would think that he would go, it's a man that knows you very well, a man that has traveled with you, has learned from you, and that was so dangerous that you didn't want to face him. You wanted him on your side. Mm-hmm. That man is Mark Davis. But instead he goes, it's Mark Davis, the man who, and says all that stuff.
Yeah, he got to do it afterwards.
Mark Davis again. It's like, what the, why'd you like build up to it? But even then it's like, okay, I like Mark Davis. He's a phenomenal performer.
I like Mark Davis too.
But clearly, Kyle Fletcher is going to be doing his own thing, like, right. and with Takeshita and all that. I think that he is a fine fit for the Don Callis family. I think that there are some people that are probably like, well, we expected someone else. And that's okay. He makes sense. But
yeah. Yeah. So, A, this goes back to that really cool little vignette that they had at Don Callis's dinner party, where he was like, who says there's only five of us? And at that point, people were throwing out crazy names. Like, people were throwing out, like, absolute dream signings, returns, people from New Japan, all this kind of stuff. Nobody was saying Mark Davis. You know what I mean? Nobody was. People were like, I guess it could be Trent. Like, he's technically part of the Don Callis family, so I guess it could be him. Nobody was saying Mark Davis. And to me, if you're going to do this whole, like, here's a mystery opponent for Will Ospreay, and who says there's only five of us, then the guy that you reveal as being that guy can't be Mark Davis with an off-screen story and expositional dialogue delivered by Don Callis while he's on commentary. I signed him and Kyle Fletcher at the same time, but Mark Davis was injured, so he's under contract to me, so he does what I tell him. He's out there to beat up Will Ospreay because he works for me and I tell him what to do. That's all fine, but there is a straight-up rule in storytelling that should be followed whenever possible. Show, don't tell. If we had been able to see any of Mark Davis being talked to by Don Callis and him being like, I don't want to do this, anything like in the background at all to like give us an inkling this was happening after the fact, it kind of, the explanation is plausible, but giving the explanation while we're watching Mark Davis fight Will Ospreay and we don't even see the person on camera who is telling us what is happening is the most tell and not show that you could possibly do.
I agree. I think that, them implying something like that at the dinner would have been nice. Like,
yeah,
you know, we believe Mark Davis should be out on his own. And he's like, no, I brought you here. And by the way, I tacked on your injury time.
Yeah.
As like a heelish thing, mm-hmm. I think would have been really, really great. Will Ospreay gets the win. JP says, did we miss the main storyline this whole time? The redemption of Rick Knox. Oh, brother.
He's seeing stuff now. I mean, he is. Did he get LASIK? What happened to him?
That reminds me, I'm supposed to hit up LASIK. I contacted them and I was like, you know, this makes a natural sponsorship crossover opportunity. And I got LASIK and it was wonderful.
Yeah. There you go.
Listen, I ain't putting it over anymore. Not until they pay us. Until they pay us. But Will Ospreay gets the win. Nonstop Goose said, last week, I'm pretty sure Callis said, you can't teach that. Big Bill is the other man. That way you can't have this sweet, sweet Golden Jets reunion we were promised. Oh, we are not getting a Golden Jets reunion ever.
No.
Never, ever, even if there's a fire.
No.
DNC Digital says, am I crazy to think Kenny turns on Will? So we did have Omega appearing after the match. And I believe these two gentlemen should go parallel until their inevitable clash, Alex. And I mean, one of these gentlemen should not lose, mm-hmm. and the other gentleman should also not lose. Mm-hmm. That's my big creative pitch.
I know.
They both win all the time.
Wow.
Until they face each other, and then one of them wins.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's pretty avant-garde there, though. Like, I don't know. I don't know if the American wrestling public is ready for such a dramatically different storyline than such as two guys wrestle really well apart from each other and then have to face each other. Hmm.
In the words of the great B-Rad Gluckman, that's another million right there. I believe that is a hit. Two protected guys. Mm-hmm. Just winning, 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 and they do it in really good matches, and they face each other, and they have a really good match, and you don't know which one's going to win or lose. Mm. That's what I would like to see. We had Big AB saying, off topic, but after SummerSlam in Cleveland, do you think WWE would ever do an event in an Ohio stadium in Columbus? Big venue, decent market. If Columbus paid WWE a lot of money,
sure,
they certainly would. Sure. I mean, I've been up there numerous times. My first in-person WWE interviews were in Columbus. Columbus can draw a crowd because they draw a crowd every year for the Arnold Sports Festival, which is a gigantic bodybuilding, fitness, supplement expo, and they have integrated wrestling into it. They Strikeforce and UFC would do big events there, not stadium events, but big events. I think that a PLE is likelier there, but I think that WWE is also in that era of we're going to go to the big cities and then we'll bring Raw to the Columbuses and the like along the way. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Hurt Syndicate promo. They are interrupted by the Guns. Meat Norma says, I made mac and cheese with bacon and jalapenos, only five cheeses. Now let's crank. And more like Cheese Normus. He says, with the NBA lead in, I've had Hurt Syndicate lead off the show. Well, they were here talking about this title match, which they are granting the Guns. And they said something along the lines of, we're not going to lose the title to a couple of ass boys. And did my ears deceive me? Did the Guns just embrace the ass boys?
Yes, they say you're GD right, because I'm assuming if they bleep it on TNT, then we'll get demonetized if I say the thing that they said.
So I watch on Max and I watch on Triller with the VPN. Did you get the same bleepage that I did where it was like the static sound?
Yes.
Like, I like that way better than completely muting things.
Yeah, me too.
Way, way bigger fan of that. How are you feeling about this segment, Alex?
I mean, this is a good thing for Guns to come back. Come back. We won our titles. We haven't had them. We never got a rematch. We lost our titles 2 years ago. We never got a rematch. Yeah, we won our titles. We're healthy now. I think that, man, 2 years ago, I would have been like, no way. Come on now. But they've improved so much over
exponentially
the last 18 months or so that, like, I want to see them in there, you know, mixing it up with Shelton and Bobby Lashley. That's really good. I also love that MVP is like, all right, sure, next week. I really love that is who the Hurt Business are, Hurt Syndicate, that they're the guys who are like, we're the champs. You would like a title match? Yes, we will give you your title match next week, as opposed to maybe, I don't know, or no, you don't deserve it, or let's go talk to the general manager. I like or how about right now? Like, it's not practical to say, how about right now? I like that it's like, okay, we're going to do it in a week. And that's a cool thing to do. The Hurt Syndicate is not losing the titles anytime soon. So them having a good match with the Guns, where the Guns look good, and then they can climb back up, man, there is a stupid amount of talent that's just sitting in AEW in the tag division. Like, this can be the beginning of it, where they, if you have the Hurt Syndicate every couple of weeks defend the titles in a really good 8 to 12 minute match where the other guys get to look good, but then they get to look dominant at the end, and you can just stack up defenses against good people who then have to jockey amongst themselves if they want to get a rematch a couple of months down the line. Great stuff.
I just saw a thing that Dax posted that someone handed him, like gifted him from the crowd. It was a note that said to FTR. And it says, suck on this. And he says, without the fans, I'd be nothing. Oh, that's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. I love it. That is next level. That's good stuff. Woo! Ryan L. says, got to say, AEW's been feeling pretty hot lately. Every single segment tonight hit, even MJF, Dustin, and Hangman tie into that so well. Plus, Grand Slam looks like it'll sell out 13K plus tickets. Wish they'd live stream it at 2 a.m. plus delayed broadcast. I do, too. I think this should have been one of those things that came along with the Max deal that said, well, whenever we want to be able to do this, what's to keep us from it? Mm-hmm. That's the type of deal that I wish would have nailed down. Instead, listen, their deal gets a simulcast on Max, which I can tell you I have not watched on TBS one time since then. Even though I watch on Triller usually with AEW Plus and the VPN, I would still sometimes check it out on TBS to see if I was missing anything. I don't anymore. I'm interested to hear in our chat and in the comments section, let me know how you are watching AEW. Alex, I did a poll a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it, but it had over like 15,000 votes, and over 60% said they were watching it live on Max or by pirating it.
Wow.
Which is insane. Insane.
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
Look at our audience. Like, it is all, and then we get like one TBS in here. Mm-hmm. One TBS, and TBS via Xfinity. Man, that's very telling. But listen, if you guys want to watch it on Triller with AEW Plus, get that NordVPN.com/Fightful. I mentioned this earlier today, Alex. Yeah. I was not too sure what the future would be for NordVPN.com/Fightful in this new landscape, right? I was like, Raw's moving to Netflix. What will this mean? AEW moving to Max. Well, here's what it does for you. You can go and get your NordVPN.com/Fightful 30-day money-back guarantee, 4 months extra. And you can watch WWE Raw on Netflix, and then you can watch it without commercials by changing your virtual location. And then on Tuesdays, you can watch NXT on Netflix. And then on Fridays, SmackDown on Netflix. And then on the weekends, your PLEs on Netflix. And if you say, by God, I don't want to watch commercials during AEW either, you can get Triller's AEW Plus and watch AEW Dynamite without commercials. And in addition, get pay-per-views at a much more affordable rate. And that isn't all. You get to listen to your favorites abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals, stay safe when you're traveling, when you're at the hotel, the damn casino I stayed safe at last week. It's available on all your devices. It adds extra layers of security to your digital life. And they have 24/7 tech support. If you say, man, I don't know if I'll know how to use this. That's the boat I was in. I am not a tech-savvy guy. It was so easy to use it, and anytime I've needed help, their tech support helps me. But I'll give you the lowdown. I'll give you a complete tutorial. You get your subscription, download the app, turn it on, and then it'll say Quick Connect. You switch it over to UK, and then you access your Netflix or your Triller or anything like that. You're good to go. I got to say, Netflix is remarkably chill about VPNs. So check it out, guys. NordVPN.com/Fightful. We are at the point to where probably within the next couple of weeks, now that I realize I can catch all the Kentucky basketball games on ESPN Plus, I'm about to cancel my cable service. And 1 month of YouTube TV costs about as much as 2 years of NordVPN.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. A reminder, we are now streaming live on Instagram at Fightful Online. I am making a real conscious effort to grow our Facebook, our TikTok, our Instagram, those platforms as well. So please go ahead and follow those. If you are a specialist in those areas and have grown gigantic pages in that regard and feel like you can help, hit me up. We are looking to dig into that experience, preferred in that sense. But James Stalling says, I legit popped when the guns came out. Love them. They have improved so much. And yeah, it's funny because even when I watched the All In Battle Royal in like 2018, you could see in the body language, you could tell Austin was his father's son for sure. And that's a good body language to emulate. Billy Gunn's always been good about that. Terry Allen Jr. said, enjoyed being in the arena with the crowd, heavily vocal, a little disappointed Mercedes didn't wrestle. And on Blue Sky, I'll post videos from the event. Terry, I believe you said that you were treating your mother to this show. I hope that she had a good time. Hope that you had a good time. It was a hell of a Dynamite. It really was. But Harley Cameron did an interview, and she continues to knock it out of the park. And like, I understand they had to get her a win, but I think there would have been something kind of cool. Even though I am not on the let somebody get a title shot without a win train. They had to get her a win, and they did over Taya Valkyrie, and she has been killing it. Alex, one day, she will be a champion.
Oh, for sure.
And she is going to be so over in that moment. All that I ask of AEW is have the what's next planned, because she is going to kill it, because she is right now with her little Mercedes puppet and all.
So she's probably the most overall talented wrestler in the world, that you could do all of the things on top of the, because she's gotten so much better as a wrestler, and she's just obviously just straight up funny. Like that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes it's just the comedy thing doesn't work. But like on top of that, she writes her own songs and sings them, and ventriloquism is no joke. To be able to do that with, like,
I mean, it is sort of a joke.
Okay, it's very difficult. That is what I was trying to say. To be able to do it as well as she does, on top of all the other things she studied for years to be a ventriloquist, and now she's a professional wrestler, and she's really good at that too, is kind of insane. Like, she's, I mean, the stuff that when she first pulled that out, the Mercedes Manuppet on Collision, I couldn't believe. I was like, are they piping in pre-recorded dialogue? Because I could not see anything. She's so good. Like, she's hitting F's and S's without moving her lips. Like, she's really, really, really good at this. I'm blown away by her as a ventriloquist on top of everything else. I would just go and watch her do ventriloquism. Like, she's so excellent, man.
Speaking of, Christian Cage appeared to be fearful that Samoa Joe and Hook were going to shove their hands up his ass and work his mouth like a puppet, because he wanted no parts of these two gentlemen at all. I have always kind of dug the Samoa Joe and Hook going to tear shit up angles. It's them so going good directly into a place and just ready to wreck. And then Samoa Joe like stopping him, like, let me pause for some words of wisdom before this B&E.
It's like they walk up and then Nick Wayne is trying to be all tough. And it's like, he's not here. My dad's not here. Oh, all right. Well, we could leave then. We'll come back when he's here. Or we could leave a message. And I just love that was great. Also, my favorite part about this is them walking up to the camera guy. And we're like, hey, who the hell's this? Where's Shibs? And Hook being like, he's in Japan, dude. All right. Like, I love that there's a thing you have to bring a new camera guy because Shibata's out of town. I think this is so cool. I love Christian peeking in, seeing the smoke and wanting none of it. This was excellent. Samoa Joe and Hook are fantastic. Like, you want to talk about just all the tag teams that you have on the roster? Like, and they're all, so many of them are so great. And what I would love to see versus Hurt Syndicate. But Samoa Joe and Hook could be a lot of fun against, especially because Hook was never better than when he was working with Samoa Joe, against him and with him. So like more and more you teach Hook through Samoa Joe. That could be a lot of fun. Samoa Joe cutting promos against MVP would be a lot of fun. Come on, do some more of that.
You know what my favorite thing about this entire segment was? So this past week, Hook was featured on the Tommy Hilfiger Instagram. Mm-hmm. And he's always a guy that you look at and you're like, he could be a model. You know, like, would not be out of the realm of possibility. Sure. I wouldn't even say out of the realm of possibility. It's likely he's going to be a model at some point.
Yes.
And people are like, oh, he's dating Dame Dash's daughter, going to these cool places. So now I'm paying a little bit more attention to his fashion. Did you notice anything about what he was wearing?
No, nothing.
It was like a jacket hoodie. And I saw on the back said Noreen Seabrook. And I'm like, what is Noreen Seabrook? Mm-hmm. Like, is that a famous designer or something that I've never heard of? Like, admittedly, I don't know a ton about high fashion. So I Google it. Well, it's a carpet store in Brooklyn. And that is the coolest shit I've ever heard of.
That's great. That's great.
It's like, I looked at it. It's got 2 Google reviews. That is incredible. That is phenomenal. That's like, and I saw it and I was like, what is going on? That is fantastic. If those are available for purchase, they will go crazy.
Put them on the website. Do they have a website?
I just want to say this. Like, I'm talking really high-end rugs here. Like,
yeah.
Like, to the point to where I'm a Bengals fan, there's a $2,000 Bengal rug here.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean,
I would love it.
You got that Fightful co-owner money. You could have that shipped to you.
Yeah, right, buddy. just amazing. I love it. I love it. And I just love what they're doing as well. I'm so glad to see Samoa Joe back. C. Delgado says, give her. And also, Christian sold the hell out of this. He should be scared of these two.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. We got C. Delgado saying, give her the rub. She deserves it. Let her beat Monet. I don't think that's coming.
Well, here's the deal. Not this time. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm totally sold on her coming this close and Mercedes being shook and ducking her, not because she doesn't deserve it, but because that scared.
Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
Because the crowd was super into it and all this stuff, and Harley working her way back because she gets one, maybe two victories before she faces Monet and then she loses. What if Harley went on like a 10-match win streak and it was undeniable? Now I get my rematch versus Mercedes Monet, and then she beats Mercedes. Like, Harley has the kind of organic response that she's getting that I think people are going to demand that she keeps getting more and more prominent spots. And I think that her and Mercedes are probably going to have a great match.
And I guarantee you, Mercedes is going to take great pride in this, in working a match with this woman who does not have a wealth of experience or anything like that, has 65 matches under her belt, and will have something very good out of this. Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita defeat Buddy Matthews and Brody King. Matthews earlier in the evening confronts Okada and wants a title shot. And then basically is like, I always knew you were a bitch. Mm-hmm. And Okada, who it feels like we never see on this show at this point, is like, I'm not a bitch. But first off, put Okada on this damn show more. You signed him for a reason, to a multi-million dollar deal for a reason. And I understand the AEW is much different than other promotions, but like, it feels like I never see this guy wrestle, even though I saw him wrestle twice last month on Collision.
Right. Yeah.
In the Continental Classic, it just feels like we don't see him work as much as I thought we were. Maybe that is, maybe that is just in my head because I don't see him wrestle on Dynamite as much. Because I will say he adds a lot to Collision because he's almost like a regular on there.
Yes.
But we saw that from last week and then this match, and it killed Alex.
It was so great. And Buddy is over as a baby.
Yeah, he is.
Man. I'm so proud of that guy, man. Like, you go back to Blake and Murphy that were like this goofball douche tag team following Alexa Bliss around, and then they broke them up, and he was doing nothing, wasn't even on NXT proper, and found his way into 205 Live, and his whole gimmick was, how is this dude going to get down to 205 pounds? He was 50 pounds heavier than some of the dudes he was wrestling at 205, 204.9 pounds. And he was just killing people. He was like Brock Lesnar in there, just hucking dudes around. He was so much fun to watch. Like the 2018, his feud with Mustafa Ali on 205 Live made that thing worthwhile. That is one of those things that I always tell people. What did I miss?
It was so good.
What did I miss if I didn't start watching until 2020? Like, go back five. You have access to Peacock. Go back to 2018, the summer. Watch Mustafa Ali versus Buddy Murphy. My God, that feud was amazing. I'm so happy that now, 7 years later almost, that he's here in AEW, finally getting the kind of reaction that I thought he would get when he signed here, because he is so much fun to watch. He's electric. And the crowd is really responding to it now that he's firmly babyface tweener. And this is a lot of fun. He and Brody, I think, are the team to get the really long feud that ends up beating the Hurt Syndicate. So I'm glad they're not starting it yet, because I want Hurt Syndicate to have a good reign. But Buddy versus Okada is going to shock a lot of people at really how good Buddy can be when he's up against somebody like Okada. This is going to be so good.
Interesting how smooth everything has been going over the last few weeks. Buddy, I would be fine with a flash title win, and then you could switch the title back.
Sure.
On like a Dynamite or Collision.
That would be really great. That'd be really great.
I mean, they WWE did this with Edge in Toronto on a house show.
Yeah.
Back in 99. I would love to see them do that. Meet Norma says, WWE sold a buttload of those Ugly Lily dolls. AEW could make a few sacks of money selling that Mercedes puppet. They 100% could. Sasha crew would buy the shit out of those. Oh
my God. Of course they would.
Oh my God. Stalling says, Buddy reminds me of Pac when he was in WWE. Yeah. And he is going to really show in these opportunities just how good he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen it, but like, come on, there are some more matches that we need to see him in Omega. We gotta really, really see that.
Yeah.
Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. We've got thousands of you watching across YouTube, X, and all that stuff, but I can't begin to tell you how important leaving a thumbs up on the YouTube video is for us. The algorithm does not favor us because we throw everything onto one channel and we stream a lot. So every time you all leave a thumbs up on these videos or you comment after the fact, which I go and interact with every day, it goes a long way in helping us out. It lets YouTube find us and it, you know, allows us to be supported, so to speak. So we are at like 138 thumbs ups. I would like to get to about 42,000 by the end of this show.
By the end of the show. That's reasonable.
Yeah. 42,000. Can we aim for that, guys?
Please. Yeah. Let's get it.
I would greatly appreciate that.
If we get to 42,000, I will auction off something. If we get to 42,000 likes on this thing, I'll auction off something. I don't know what, but I'll do it.
That tree in the background.
That's right. That's right. I will give this tree with the lights on it to somebody in the chat if we get to 42,000.
42,000. That's I do less, but I got a business to run here.
There you go.
Oh, man. So I'm going to talk about this. Gosh, there's just nothing but really good segments now. Like, Mariah May comes out, and it is announced that Toni Storm is playing a role tonight. And it's timeless Toni Storm playing the glamour Mariah May. First of all, she looked incredible.
She looked and moved and behaved like It was 90% sincere and 10% parody, which I think is the exact sweet spot, because I'm watching it, and if you squint, there's no way you could tell the difference. From far away, there's no way you could tell the difference. It was uncanny. I'm like, I never realized all the things that Mariah May does until I watched Toni Storm perform Mariah May. She's doing all of her bits. It was so frigging great. The best part about it was what it looked to me like the obvious meant to fall out hair extensions, which then by the end left it obvious that it was Toni without the extra yes. hair. And it made it so much better. Gosh, this was so much fun. And Mariah, because like, guys, it's obviously not me. Why are we saying that it's me? And she just gets more and more and more adamant about it until she's stewing at the end of the match. Great stuff, man.
I would love to hear Nigel on commentary for this.
Yes. That, what a missed opportunity for Nigel to not be on commentary yeah. for this match.
Like, when he's on commentary next, he needs to be livid that he wasn't called in.
It would have been so great. He would have been like, two Mariahs. Which one is my true beloved?
Twins, Basil? Like. Oh, God almighty.
Oh, my God. Gotta do it.
So she killed it. And RJ City contributes heavily to this storyline, yeah, as one would expect. Yeah. And I would imagine that he is instrumental in citing some of these like intricacies and these little things that Mariah does that Toni can pick up on and execute and really just exploit to make it even more convincing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those stories where, you know, when the title changed and Toni went away, people were like, yeah, all right. And until Mina showed up, people were like, yeah. Oh, okay. But now that Toni's back,
yeah,
damn, it's kicking on all cylinders. Mina, by the way, who tells me she's likely to only miss a month of action and hoping to spend a lot more time in America this year.
Good. Great.
Great news. Great news. But just killing it. And Queen Aminata did a great job tonight, too.
Just playing the Toni Storm, the Timeless Toni faces and stuff. This was a lot of fun. She's very, very good. She's one of those women that I'm like, okay, so eventually we're going to actually give her a real push and give her some wins and get her a title run or something. Like, she's so good and she's only getting better. And I really want to see what the ceiling is for Queen Aminata, because she's excellent.
Looks like $1 million, wrestles convincingly, improves all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I am just ready for her to have like supplemental wins and stuff like that. That way she can get some semblance of a push again. Like, they've got four women's singles titles across two brands. They do yeah. not need that. They need a world tag team title. And I yeah. mean that across ROH and AEW. I've said it a million times. Yeet says AEW is really focusing on story now. Love it. They certainly are. I mean, listen, I went to the Royal Rumble with my wife, who doesn't usually watch wrestling on a weekly basis anymore. And the thing that she noticed is like, wow, they really just love people staring at each other here, huh? It's like, and this is not like I don't talk to her about pro wrestling. Like, no, this is not a toxic wrestling fan's approach.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I saw somebody mention, they're like, one day they'll get rid of those pesky wrestling moves.
Yeah, they will.
And it's like, sometimes it is one of the most emotional elements of pro wrestling is,
yeah.
Well, what's it going to be like when they do mm-hmm. this thing?
Yeah, yeah. a lot of professional wrestling is the anticipation of them actually doing something.
Fighting.
Eventually.
Yes.
Eventually, they're going to do something. And oh boy, won't it be great when that happens.
And listen, one of the most viewed videos I have ever been a part at is me getting in somebody's face and literally nothing happening. So I can't sit there and act like
yeah.
I haven't seen this firsthand. Absolutely. Yeah. That garners interest, but Yeah, it works real well for pro wrestling, brother.
Yeah,
works really well.
Yeah.
New John or Joe says, so many would have spent time screaming on commentary, but Mariah seething was much more effective. It was. It added gravity to the situation. It was so good. She is killing it. I mean, she is the perfect example of you bring somebody in the company with a clear vision of what they're doing and a story to get there.
Yeah.
And that is always somebody that Tony Khan can point at and say, look how right I got it with her.
Yep.
Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. New Lack City sent a humper chat and said tonight was an awesome Dynamite. We know the usual suspects of haters will fake hate on it. Notice that when TK is more in the weeds, Dynamite is more fast-laced and a more fun show. Never understood people who hated on this place, which is peak AEW. I mean, very rarely do I watch many wrestling shows where I'm going to like every single thing that plays out over 4 hours of nationally televised TV.
Absolutely.
But there are certainly people that really hang on the negative, and those people just usually don't have much. But listen, there are also eras like 2019 WWE where there's not a lot in the latter part of the year to enjoy. There are like things like 2015 TNA, not fun to enjoy, like, and are not a lot to enjoy. There are elements of AEW and periods of AEW where it seemed like they could never recover. Mm-hmm. But that was the case with WCW at one point. It was the case with WWE, WWF a whole bunch of times.
The thing with AEW is they always are going to have the roster to turn it around if the creative gets on a roll, because the roster is so damn talented. You get them the right stories to play out, and you give them the right opponents to face, and eventually it'll all work itself out.
Alex, in the last 10 years, the best television show, wrestling television shows on the air have been a company that no longer exists, Lucha Underground.
Yep.
And at one point, the National Wrestling Alliance had one of the best wrestling TV shows. So to say like this stuff doesn't or does come in cycles, like, come on.
Right. Yep.
We got Hangman Adam Page. Oh, he killed it. He killed it here. He's backstage and he's asked, what were you looking at, looking for Swerve? He's like, nothing. He's like, it was a moment of weakness and we're not going to talk about that anymore.
It's great.
What was the other topic he they got brought up?
Was it talking to was it running across MJF? Was it what's next
something
for you?
Like
the generic must what's next for you, I think.
Maybe, yeah. So then Max Caster.
Oh no, it was Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels, you looked like you might have had a little bit of regret.
He
after retiring Christopher Daniels, like regret? No.
And it got a great pop from the crowd.
The crowd was like, ha, ha, ha. He said, no, he's so good, man. He's so good.
And then you got Max Caster over there with his best wrestler alive thing, of which I will say, at this point, gets the right kind of heat for me.
Begrudgingly, this is working. Yes.
Because he got it trademarked, and him carrying around the trademark adds an element to it of which I could not have predicted.
Right.
He is killing his role right now.
This is very good. I did enjoy him on Collision as well, coming out and like, oh, nice job, Beast Moros. But the best wrestler alive is here, and I would like somebody to do an open challenge. And the open challenge is Roosh, who murders him. And this being like, come on, the best wrestler alive wants to talk to Renee. I'd like to, hey, you like to kill people. Could you kill Anthony Bowens or Billy Gunn? Well, they're not here. How about I kill you? No, that's fine. And he runs away. And then Hangman's like, I'll come with you. This was fun.
And Caster runs into MJF in the ring.
Yes.
And he's like, Hangman. Like, he's trying to warn him. I mean, because, like, lost in all this is that Max Caster is one of the few people that MJF has traditionally tolerated on screen, off screen. They train together. They know each other. They came from the same wrestling school. Like, this has been a thing. So MJF, instead of just kicking him in the ball sack, is like, what, dork? And then he and Hangman get face to face. And it's one of those great things. Now, I want to address something that I saw go off a little bit on Twitter. Somebody asked me, "Oh, well, what is one of the things in the weeds that Tony being in control kind of rectifies?" And I said, sometimes the talent create their own angles, or they talk to people in creative before they talk to Tony about what their plans are. Uh-huh. And one of those was Jeff Jarrett wanted this story with Max to go really long. I'm talking like spring, summer long.
Okay.
And, you know, Max agreed to do it. It's an important story to Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
But then Tony got wind of like how long that Jeff Jarrett had wanted this and was like, I got other plans.
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah,
it's not going to go down.
Yeah.
MJF cuts a promo about Jeff Jarrett, and I loved him bringing up the all elderly wrestling thing and fake laughing at it, because it's a thing mm-hmm. that actual people say online, and it's mm-hmm. him poking fun at them. But then Dustin Rhodes comes out, and Dustin Rhodes is forever over with me. Like, I like everything that he does. He's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. And he cuts this how fucking awesome promo.
Yeah.
Impassioned promo mm-hmm. about Owen Hart and how MJF should never invoke his name again. And then he goes to, let me reset there. MJF goes into Dustin's battles with addiction, of which Tim Traver does not agree with, I'll say. He said, "Hi, Sean. Hi, Alex. Getting sick and tired of MJF coming out and talking about someone getting addicted from drugs and alcohol. This offended me. Been clear for 21 years. Sunday is my anniversary." Well, first off, congratulations on that. And hell yeah, brother. Check out the Diecast Collective. This is something that Dustin Rhodes would have absolutely cleared. It's just an element of MJF that is going to exist.
It's part of the MJF bit. Like with him, the fruit is so low hanging that he has to bend over to pick it. That's how low the fruit is. You know what I mean? Like it's so I get it. That's part of his thing. I don't agree with it either. But at this point, it's just
he's
always going to bring up.
The man prefers watermelon off the vine, not apples from the tree. And I'm cool with that. I'm good with that, because I have always said that when MJF just is annoyed by you, it's LOL your mom.
Yeah.
But it's like, if he's really mad at you, it's here's your mom's social security number and literally everything that she ever did wrong.
Right.
This match is going to happen next week, so a quick blow off here for that. Maddie Nice says, "Fantastic Dynamite this week. Great crowd. My one ask from TK is that he makes Dustin ROH world champ before he retires. Him never being a world champ will bug me to no end." I agree with that. I think he should be an ROH world champion at some point.
Yeah.
Sure. Alex, you don't seem as sold on Dustin Rhodes as I am.
I've never been. He's never been really? My guy. He's never been my guy. Like, I never had a connection.
Not a big Black Rain guy.
No, he's just there's just never been my guy. So
not a fan of Seven.
I mean, no. I mean, I was watching the promo live where he's like, "This sucks. I don't want to do this anymore." And I was like, "What am I?" That was my first ever meta promo that I'd ever seen. And I was like, "Is he allowed to just do this?" I thought it was a shoot. So like, So yes, that was interesting, but also for the wrong reasons, because it was Russo. But like all this stuff he's fine. And I liked the fire, and I like that he's sticking up for Jeff Jarrett. But when you have MJF be like, "It's not all elderly wrestling," and yet we see so much screen time being given to Jericho, and now Jeff Jarrett, and now Dustin Rhodes, because Dustin Rhodes has been doing a lot of stuff in ROH. He hasn't been on AEW, so they're adding more old guys onto the show, and Cope is getting a world title shot, and I like Cope, but like at this point in his career, I thought that the whole thing we were doing with Moxley was trying to light a fire under the young guys, and that's the and also the AEW guys, and Edge to me is never going to be an AEW guy. And he's also definitely not a young guy. So like, if you look across the board at the usage rate to use an NBA term, of the older fellas on the roster, it's at an all-time high. So I'm a little sensitive to anybody at that age. Once you're eligible for Social Security, I feel like perhaps, maybe, it might be time to cede ground to the younger generation. That's always been my thing.
So you are of the belief that Jeff Jarrett should go for another 12 to 13 years.
Right, exactly. What I'm saying is that I'm all for MJF being the dude who retires guys now, because it will get him heat, which he'll love, and he'll be great at all the build up to it and the gloating about it. So if he's going to retire Jeff Jarrett later, have him retire Dustin Rhodes. Whenever Dustin is done, have him be the dude who retires guys by goading them into matches with their careers on the line. That could be a part of his character. You know what I mean? I don't know, but there's a lot of stuff.
I think this is a perfectly suitable short-term feud. Dustin always stays over. I'm excited for this. I thought there was a lot of passion here. I love JF brutally kicking him in the ball sack.
Yes, which is his deal. It's his deal.
Is that, unlike many people, when MJF does this, it's not a desperation thing. Like, he went in there with the full intent of him coming back was to kick him in the ball sack.
So, 62 to qualify for Social Security. My bad. Old enough to qualify for the senior discount at the movie theater, which I believe is 55.
Listen, you buy those bad boys online, anybody can qualify. Half the time, they don't even have a ticket taker there anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You kidding me?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I got a couple of free passes over here just because somebody that worked at the cinema is a wrestling fan. So, hey, listen, Jeff, I got your back, buddy. You too, Dustin. Oh, man, get those super chats, get those Humber chats in. Rafael Garcia says, I figured it out. AEW infuriates me because it's the most consistently inconsistent show I've watched. I watched Married at First Sight, A-minus show. DNC Digital says, one time someone made the save, which chased a heel out and almost got them. 15-year-old daughter asked, why don't they just get out and keep chasing them? We need to come up with a full list of tropes like that. Like, why does it happen like that?
Yeah.
The New York Minute hits, and let me tell you, this is the best New York Minute I have ever seen. Because Will Hobbs, who was not cleared last week,
right,
comes out and wrecked shit, and then him and Big Bill, the meat is back. Yeah. Alert Arby's.
Get more of that. I want more of that.
Listen.
More of that.
That's that sound right there. Meat being bumped. Mm-hmm. They fought all over the place. They made it look as real as humanly possible. Over the table, all over the place. That was just meaty. And I'm for it.
It was. I think it's funny that you're like, this is the best New York Minute ever, and then proceeded to describe all the stuff that happened after the New York Minute was over.
No, buddy.
The New York Minute. They kept the frame up there, but that was a lot longer than a minute. So, like, I have no idea what Jericho was saying. But when Hobbs came out, When Hobbs came out, I unmuted. And then I watched the rest of it, and I thought that was great. But I don't know what Jericho said.
He recited the lyrics to Brian Keith's old song.
Okay.
Still Tipping.
All right. Cool.
Meat Norma says Atlanta has acknowledged Meat.
Yeah.
I love
they
it. Have.
They were they love
I
that.
I love it. Oh my God. Lord Peter says great show from start to finish, but the regrettable exception of the unfortunate Learning Tree Barbie Bushwhackers with Hobbs segment. Listen. I like the Outrunners. I know Alex does not, but I do. I very much. The Barbie Bushwhackers is a great, first off, analogy.
It is.
I love it. Like, listen, buddy, if you don't know what the Bushwhackers were capable of before being the Bushwhackers, please go back and watch some Sheepherders footage. Because if that is the ceiling for the Outrunners, that's good time. Because the Sheepherders were one of those violent tag teams of their era and had some all-time classics.
Right. And I know, because there's no way they would have made it this long in the business if this wasn't the case. I know that the Outrunners are more than this. But what this is isn't for me. So I'm looking forward to seeing if they maybe have a gimmick shift where they're a little different than what this is, because this is not for me.
The main event. So there was an element of this that actually happened upon the arrival. You see Prince Nana and you see the robe. It's the embassy robe, traditionally worn by the late Jimmy Rave, and has been worn by Swerve in the past as well. And this was multifaceted. For one, you know, unfortunately, we lost Jimmy Rave just over 3 years ago, but he was from Atlanta, where tonight's show was. Which, I mean, also, by the way, listen, like, obviously, you want to be doing more in ticketing than what AEW is doing. You don't ever want to sell tickets on 3 weeks' notice. But from what I understand, almost everything except for the accessible seats were sold for this show by the time Showtime rolled around. Now, build upon that. But the robe was there, and you see Swerve come out with it. I would like for it to be highlighted, like maybe special moments where he's looking for inspiration, like a reason specifically why that robe was brought out here, because clearly it's played into this, because Ricochet ended up taking it by the end of the night after this match, after Ricochet ended up getting his hands up, cracking the balls of Swerve and winning. But this was exactly what you would want out of these two, and clearly it's not done, Alex.
No, it was a tremendous match. I loved the vitriol with which this match was contested. Fantastic stuff from both guys. Not a lot of street fighty stuff, right? Like they just hit each other as hard as they could. There was the chair stuff ahead of time, but that wasn't brought out a lot within the match. So I was fine with me with that. I really enjoyed all of this. Was so excellent. My favorite thing was the shock counter of the spirit gun with the house call. Like he got that was one of those things that I did not see coming. Like that's how fast Swerve got up and threw this leg up into Ricochet's face. That was fantastic. Here's something that's really interesting to me about the end of this match. I didn't know you could do that, says everybody else who has ever faced Swerve. You're telling me if I didn't just stand there and watch him, but instead put my hands up like this, I would have won? Man, now I know what to do versus Swerve the next time I face him, says everybody else in the locker room.
I would like to see that affected, and he's got to come up with something else. He's got to start doing something else. For one, I can't imagine taking that move. No thanks. No thanks, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough when I see Finn Balor doing the old pant shitter to people. Like, I could not imagine taking a stomp like that. The one Roman took at the Rumble?
Yeah.
Yeesh. Yeah. That wasn't a curb stomp. That was a Swerve stomp to his face.
Yes.
Unbelievable. AEW Women's Division blog says Ricochet plus Taylor Scissors plus Jimmy Rave's robe. I think that might be where we're headed.
That's got to be it. He left with it. He didn't chop it up. I wonder if they've had a second one made that doesn't have the actual significance, but looks like a double. And that's the one he comes in having sliced up with the scissors. So that the actual one, the reason why he didn't do it on camera was because they didn't want to actually really damage the true one. But they've had a double made and they're going to use that as the prop.
Jay Holler says, best Dynamite in a while. I'm more interested in everything except the main event scene and almost everything tonight hit. Thanks, Bill Oregon. Nice little Will Washington reference. Will has been instrumental in this. I always like to poke around and find out who is responsible for what. And big surprise, he's working on a Swerve story and it's doing really well. So shout out to Fightful alumni Will Washington. Danny says Ricochet is a heel, might be the best version of himself in years. Really enjoying his work, and him walking out with the Jimmy Rave robe was perfect. There are some elements of this that, like, I look at and you can pull from movies. It's like him getting the toilet paper thrown all over him is like the pro wrestling version of Carrie. Like, yeah, it's instead of blood, it's
absolutely is.
And it's like, he didn't do anything to anybody. Like, he didn't do anything.
No.
And Swerve highlighted it with one promo line on Collision that went under the radar of a lot of people because of the Rumble. And he said to Ricochet, "You told these people you were a superhero and they hated you. I know I'm the villain and everybody respects me."
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Oh, I also love the thing that Ricochet is like, where he was talking to Swerve. He's like, I can't cut a promo. Yeah. Cause I do really bad about saying, I'm not really believable when I say stuff I don't mean. When I'm trying to get these people to love me, when I don't give a damn about any of them, yeah. Oh, maybe I'm not very believable when I cut a promo because I don't give a damn about anybody. This is the real me. This is who I've always meant to be the whole time. That was amazing. I love that bit too. That was great. Great.
Yeah, if you all didn't watch that segment, please go watch that. That even after this.
Yeah.
Because it goes a long way with it.
Oh, for sure.
N. Simmons says, "I can't believe Ricochet is one of the top heels and he's smart. And Swerve's near falls had me." That being said, take the TBS off Garcia and put it on Ricochet, add it to the storyline, or do something creatively satisfying with Daniel Garcia, because it is always, as I mentioned, the what's next. The what's next after winning the title. Well, that's what do you have next for this person?
That's the problem with Garcia in particular, because the what's next should have been settled on in November when he won the title, and the what's next was not even making it to the group finals of the C2.
Yeah.
And then after that, now he's going to mess around with Kyle O'Reilly and Lee Moriarty for a bit, and then we'll see if we actually get him a real challenger by the time we get around to, I don't know, All In Texas. Like, there needed to have been some serious follow-up that was already decided upon. When they decided, let's have him take the title off of Jack Perry, then you need to know exactly what's next, and it seems like they did not.
And I mean, like, as far as, you know, his matches and his in-ring work, I mean, he did great in the Continental Classic. He defended the TNT title, like, a bunch last month.
Yeah.
Like, he had Mark Briscoe and Shibata and then the triple threat that you mentioned. Yeah. But it's like, I want, like, a storyline, like, something deep with him. Because I've seen what he can do, and I know he can carry one.
Right.
Meet Norman says, I thought there would be blood during Swerve and Trevochet. Tune in to Fightful Select for info on Swerve's robe. I mean, this is an integral part of this story. It is an integral part, and one that they will probably indicate exactly how emotional and how serious that it is. Guys, if y'all don't mind, leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave a comment on this video. I'm in there interacting with you guys. If you see these streams on Twitter or wherever, share the link, retweet the links on Blue Sky, Facebook, any of that stuff. I cannot begin to tell you how much your direct support like that helps spread the word about the Fightful post shows. Listen, depending on what demographic you listen to, you might think that we are AEW lovers or WWE shills. So just spread the word that you like what we do here. Maybe they'll give us a shot. Alex, what do you got going on?
Well, we've been doing this thing on Fridays where I will talk about the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the third hour of SmackDown. That is, people seem to enjoy that. Doing a little live commentary on the main event. And then nothing this weekend, right? And then a packed weekend next weekend with Collision and the Vengeance Day for NXT.
Oh yeah. So
that should be a lot of fun doing that. I'm sure my wife will love that that so much of my time in the evenings on Valentine's Day weekend will be taken up talking about wrestling on this channel.
Guys, until next time, we're out.